How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Yeah, DGEN Nation fam, you know what time it is. Once again, it's the DGEN Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority, and we're coming at you live here on a Friday night as we get ready to talk about Sunday's Week 14 main slate. Fellas, we are at three quarters of a way through the season. We only got a quarter left, man. It's like, man, it feels like a grind of a season that we've been going through, and then it's also like, wait, we only got a couple more slates to talk through with the people. It's bittersweet, man. It's always how the NFL season goes, man. It feels too quick, but we will have some postseason coverage for you guys. We're excited about that. Hopefully, you know, you guys are getting up for your redraft playoffs. You're looking at your best ball teams and seeing what they're doing. And in the meantime, you could come in and get in on some action for the Week 14 main slate. Boys, we got a juicy Week 14 main slate to break down for the people. I'm curious to hear where you guys' thoughts are. And for the people who are listening and watching at home, you know what time it is. It's the usual suspects that I'm going to welcome in. It's Matty D at Matty DFS is where you can find him on Twitter and X, Medi 2v2, Medi gets buckets, and then the one and only Godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele. That's at Fantasy Ref 13 is where you can find him. I'm hailing from KC. I mean, Kevin, the refs are coming for, you know, they're just helping your boys. What's going on, man? The refs are, they're in the pockets of KC. They're in the pockets of Detroit, and they just keep keeping hope alive there for the red and orange.
Winners win, losers lose. I mean, that's all it comes down to.
I love it. I kid. It's all in jest. But you know, we'll talk about those Raiders that showed up against your boys last week on Black Friday. But we got to talk about this Week 14 main slate. And if you're coming into the chat, welcome on in. We appreciate you. Make sure you get your comments in. We love that. If you want to interact with us, feel free to. There's always the link in the description. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, just go into the chat, go into the description, and you can get that link right there to join in our Discord, get in on the action for your redraft teams, for DFS, for Dynasty, get your questions answered, and we got you covered. All right, boys, so we're going to talk about this Week 14 main slate from a top scale overview, and we'll go through our usual positions as we normally do, but we got a heck of a slate. I mean, we got, you know, I was so eager on Monday when pricing first came out to talk about how proud I was of DraftKings. Price and Jordan Mason up all the way to $6,900, I think is where he comes in at, maybe 67. But yeah, they priced them up and I was like, man, this is great. Like, they're on the backup already. We're going to have to make some decisions with a good running back slate. And then, oh wait, he gets put on IR and we're going to have the Isaac Garrido game, who is not priced up accordingly. He's $5,400 this week. Then we got Saquon Barkley, who has just, this guy's been absolutely amazing, right? He's 9K this week, and he's like 600, he's like 600 and change away from Eric Dickerson's single season record with four-ish games left on this, like four or five games left on the season. Like, there's definitely a chance, and he gets Carolina this week, so there's definitely a chance, like, he could be sitting real pretty by the time week 14 is over to break that record. It's just been amazing. Quarterback on the slate is very dicey. We only have two quarterbacks who are priced above 7K, and that's 7,800 and 8,000, and then you got to go all the way down to 6,400 to Baker Mayfield. We have situations where, Chicago's cleaned house with the coaching staff. They're going to be playing against those 49ers that we just talked about before. I know there's injuries across the board that will break down at position. But it just, you know, on its head, it rears itself as an ugly slate just from the standpoint of, like, we are probably going to get one of our most condensed ownership weeks that we've seen so far this year. I mean, we got, like, George Pickens was on the Monday injury report. Like, Malik Nabers is on the Monday injury report, or Friday injury report, excuse me. It's just shaping up to be, like, you know, there's going to be such a narrow path that people are going to want to build lineups. So we're, you know, that's why they tune into the show. That's why they want to hear our thoughts, is to see how they can get different. But I think there's going to be some really good spots of good, you know, chalk, you know, probably at every position besides the quarterback position. But it's just a really interesting slate that's setting up. Maddie, how are you looking at this slate, and what are your first thoughts before we get into the quarterback position here?
Yeah, I think this slate is good from a running back perspective. I think there's a ton to like at the running back position, some obvious ones, and not as much of obvious plays at the quarterback wide receiver position. I think there's going to be some chalk that forms this week that I don't necessarily agree with. You've got, you know, Tennessee that's going to be pretty popular. You know, Will Levis is coming in as right now the highest owned quarterback from what I'm seeing. And, you know, for a guy that's, you know, over his last 20-ish game logs has exceeded 20 points like one time, I'm not playing that, you know, that level of outcomes that we've seen from him. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if he scores 28, he burns me, you know, so be it. It's just, I'm going to bet on the realistic outcome of that. And, you know, I actually like playing the Jags D on the other side of that if they're going to be popular. So, because we know how much, you know, Will Levis can turn the ball over. So I'm going to be off Tennessee. The game that I like this week that neither quarterback's coming in popular, but the pass catchers are semi-popular, is Tampa Bay and Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Bucky Irving banged up a little bit for Tampa Bay. He's probably going to play. He practiced in limited fashion today. But if he were for some reason to miss, Tampa Bay is not just going to lean on, you know, Sean Tucker and Rashad White. You know, those guys, I mean, sure, they would be involved, but I think it would really be the Baker show. And I mean, we saw Burrow throw for five touchdowns against Vegas, you know, just 3 weeks ago. This Vegas pass defense has been very beatable over the last few weeks. And Tampa Bay on the other side, you know, they've been getting smoked, you know, through the air all year, including Bryce Young last week. Bryce Young was the optimal quarterback play, you know, at 4,800, which we talked about him.
Right.
And so now you got Aiden O'Connell, who I don't want to steal too much of Kev's thunder. I won't go too much into him, but, you know, 4,800 against this Tampa Bay defense, you know, and it's such, these two offenses are so consolidated in the past games. Like, you've got Evans and Otten. If Baker goes off, those are the two guys that go with him. And you've got Bowers and Jacoby Myers on Vegas. So if O'Connell goes off, those are the two guys that go with him. So O'Connell's actually, you know, Kev will talk about it, how good he's been in terms of, you know, scoring fantasy points. And 4,800, I mean, I'll play him over Levis any day of the week and twice on Sunday. So I'm interested in that game a lot. I think that both defenses are extremely beatable through the pass. And it's two really condensed offenses, which is what we're looking for when we load up our QBs. So it's those two. And then I would say probably Sam Darnold would be my other one. I do think, you know, the Falcons can be beat pretty much any way. You know, you can beat them on the ground. You can beat them through the air. My issue with Darnold is I just don't have confidence right now in Atlanta to push them on the other side. Atlanta's looked really bad. So there, you know, there's a chance that, you know, that's an Aaron Jones game, which he's interesting. So, you know, we've seen games where, you know, Darnold will throw for 150 yards and four touchdowns, you know, and he barely eclipses 20 points because, you know, they just don't throw the ball a ton. But, you know, Darnold's pretty interesting for me. In the event that Atlanta does push that game, that's probably the game stack of the week that you probably want to have if that game, you know, if Atlanta can do anything on the other side. But, you know, Atlanta on the road in Minnesota, Minnesota is going to get after Cousins, and Cousins has just not looked good outside of the two Tampa Bay games this year, going back to Tampa Bay being a bad pass defense. You know, Cousins has been awful outside of Tampa Bay games. So, right. I keep gravitating towards Baker and O'Connell.
No, that, yeah. I mean, and that's the kind of slate that we're dealing with, right? Like, you know, Maddie, especially with like a Josh Allen on the slate, I very rarely like hear you talk about these low price quarterbacks in the way that you are, considering that you are not really an MME player. So that's just the state of the slate that we are kind of dealing with right now. And it is a 10 game slate. Once again, this is the final week that we will have teams on bye. So, you know, we got, I think it's six teams who are on bye this week. So it's a real interesting slate from that point. We have six teams who are projected to score 25 or more points. That's the Eagles, the Bills, the Steelers, Bucks, Dolphins, and Vikings. So, you know, interesting that you brought up Sam Darnold there, Maddie, because I don't, you know, when's the last time we've talked about Sam Darnold, you know, being in a viable spot, especially with the way that, you know, that offense has kind of been playing. It really hasn't got up to the levels that we know they're capable of. But I mean, Justin Jefferson, we'll talk about him. He's under 8K for the first time in a while that I can remember. So, you know, yeah. Really, really valuable piece there.
It's I like it's him kind a lot. Of
crazy. Yeah, it's really crazy. We know what he's capable of, and especially mm-hmm. in a game environment that this shapes up to be. I'm sure emotions will be riding high with Kirk Cousins returning back to Minnesota. As bad as he's been, I think they might have put something in his contract that he had to play this game. But I digress. I'm going to toss it over to Kev and see where he's, you know, kind of viewing the slate and what he's thinking about at the quarterback position with the way the slate's shaping up and just the injuries that are coming in at. Kev, you're usually the one to think in the contrarian mindset more so than myself, who, you know, I consider myself pretty contrarian. Where are you at this week with what you want to be doing in order to build your lineups out?
Well, I completely agree with what I just brought up about Will Levis. Like, that makes zero sense. I have no idea why that he is projected that high at all. Like, I get that we're trying to find value in places. So, because I know everybody wants to pay up for running back this week because, yep. like, running back position looks really strong. Justin Jefferson looks really strong. So, like, being able to find ways to get up there to those guys, like, and like, there's no, like, even, like, Josh Allen necessarily doesn't just, like, jump off the page at you of, like, oh, man, like, you have to play him. Same with Jalen Hurts. So it's like, okay, well, where is this coming from? And that's where it's coming from. But, like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, he's shown no ceiling. And, like, we were talking about this before the show. But then you look at Aiden O'Connell, and, like, four of his last seven games, I think it is, he's been a top 10 scoring quarterback. Like, we have seen multiple 20-point performances from this dude. And, like, his roster ownership right now is coming in at 5%. But then you have Jacoby Myers and Brock Bowers, who are both, you know, projected to be top three at their positions. But Aiden O'Connell, like, can definitely get there. Tampa Bay's pass defense has been horrible. We know that they're going to get pushed in this game, that the Raiders are going to have to throw the ball at a high rate. And that's the Buccaneers have been terrible, you know, against quarterbacks and against passing games this year. And so, like, I get it. It's kind of gross. It's Aiden O'Connell. Like, you're not excited about it. But, like, if I'm paying down, I'm playing Aiden O'Connell. Like, I have no interest, zero, in Will Levis. Like, I don't understand the play. I don't think it's as good as people think that it is. I think you see the Tony Pollard, and I think Tony Pollard's excellent leverage right off of him. But I would much rather just play Tony Pollard. I'm not playing Will Levis. Like, I'm just not doing it. The dude's terrible. And so if he sinks me, he sinks me. But I don't think there's a lot of signal for him. I don't love it. I think there's other options. And if you want to play another cheap quarterback, play Caleb Williams. He's $5,600. And the 49ers defense is extremely banged up. They're not going to have Nicosa. They got a couple other players that are trending towards not playing. Caleb Williams, his last two games, has definitely shown a ceiling in the fantasy points that he's been able to put up, putting up 29 and 26 his last two games. You have the 49ers, who are kind of on life support right now to be able to make the playoffs. So I think there's a lot to like there. The Bears defense has started to crumble a little bit as well. So, like, I don't even mind getting to the Brock Purdy side of that game too. Like, we've seen the Bears that struggle at times as well. So I think like somebody like George Kittle could make a lot of sense there as like direct leverage off of Isaac Garendo, who's going to be really popular as well. So like I like that game environment. Like I think that that's one game environment that people are overlooking that that could get there. So whether it's on the San Francisco side or the Chicago side, you know, let's see with like DJ Moore what's going to happen with him. But Keenan Allen sets up really well. To, you know, they the 49ers have struggled against the slot this year quite a bit. So like I think that is a pretty easy stack to get to. And Caleb Williams has been running the ball quite a bit since they've made their change. So that helps his floor as well. So I like Caleb at $5,600. The one spot that I feel like that could really burn me that nobody's talking about this week. It feels like anywhere you listen to, everyone just kind of skips over this game and doesn't have a lot of interest in it though. But it has the highest total that's on this slate, and that is the Bills and the Rams game. Like there is a scenario that game could go absolutely nuclear, and that's the game that you had to have. It's indoors, so you don't have to worry about weather or anything like that. But at the same time, if you're wanting to pay up for all these expensive, you know, plays, like and Josh Allen, like he there's not like a logical stacking partner with him. They spread the ball around so much, right. But maybe the play is you just play him naked, you just play him 8K, and you just get all the production from him. And you know you figure it out the rest of it, you know, after that, and not really worry so much about stacking because like it is hard because like it's Shakir, it's you know Keon Coleman could possibly be back this week. Dalton Kincaid sounds like he's ready to come back. Mari Cooper, like there's so many different pass catchers that they spread the ball around so much that like I don't think necessarily you have to really worry about like a ceiling game from anybody else where he can just get there by himself. But like he certainly is one of those rare quarterbacks that can get there and score 30 plus fantasy points. They got to have it play. Like he certainly is one of those dudes. And, like, he's right now, he's projected for 2% ownership. Like, seems kind of wild to me for a player in the highest total on the slate to only have that. And then, you know, I think you can make this kind of same discussion around Jalen Hurts. Like, can Jalen Hurts get there? I would be less excited to play him just because of I know the Panthers' offense has looked way better than what it has recently. But I don't think that – I mean, I think this Philadelphia defense is for real. Like – I think this defense is one of the best defenses.
Yeah, they're good.
I don't see Bryce Young pushing them. So I think they just run the ball up a ton. So I don't think Jalen Hurts is someone you have to get to. But I just think that the Rams-Bills game could be the one that, like, it's going completely overlooked. Nobody's really wanting to play the guys from that game. And I think that could be a mistake.
Yeah. My issue with that game is everybody costs $1 zillion. Like, yes. Kyron's over 7K. Puka's over 7K. Cup's over 7K. Allen's 8K. And Kyron's the guy I would want from the Rams side, I think. And I don't think I can justify playing Kyron this week, you know, with you've got Kamara up there at 8K and then you've got all these cheap running backs. Like we're probably going to get Charbonnet at 4.8. We're going to get, you know, we've got Guarendo at 5.4. We've got, you know, possibly one of the Bucks guys, at cheap, you know, Braylon Allen's 5K. So, like, there's just way better running backs for me. So, like, well, I agree that from a total perspective, that game probably is the highest scoring game of the week. It's just from a fantasy, you know, fantasy point scoring. I don't know. The salaries are just too high for the guys there for me.
Yeah. It feels very similar to Baltimore and Philly last week that we were talking about. Now, I will say, you know, with those two teams, The way that it was kind of set up was just especially without Devontae on one side and like it really felt like they were just kind of, you know, okay, let's not try and beat ourselves. Let's just be very strategic and methodical with how they're playing this game. You have the one like in this Bills and Rams game, you have an interesting setup where like the Bills have already clinched. Like they've been the earliest team to clinch since whatever Peyton Manning Colts team it was, I think 2006. Say it again.
The division, you mean? Because the Chiefs clinched last.
Clinch their division, right? Clinch their division. So like, not that they're not playing for anything, but like the Rams, like, really are still playing for stuff. Like they're like two games back behind the division. Things are still.
It's
alive
only a
for 3-point
them. Spread.
It's so only
it's
a 3-point spread.
Definitely not going to be a blowout.
They need to go all out, and so that's what we really like for the Bills side of things, and you know that's what makes Josh Allen very interesting. Is like. When's the last time these Bills have been pushed? Like, if we know what happens when they get pushed, like Josh Allen is going to hit God mode and just try and do everything, you know, do everything that he can himself. So I do think it's interesting, like Kev brought up, to have some Josh Allen, you know, not even stacks, but I guess just exposure, like an 8K, yeah, he can still put up 35.
With
like
the running back value, you can get to Allen. I mean, Allen's fine.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just, man, you start to stack up that game. Like if I'm playing Allen, though, you know, I feel like I have to have a Ram on the other side. And, you know,
right,
my preference is Kyren. I mean, I guess you could play Puka. But I mean, I think it's a Kyren game. Buffalo has struggled against the run all year.
Yeah, and they're really good against receivers, but it's like, you know, when's the last outside time Buffalo's played against?
They have struggled in the slot. So like, that's where like Cup would come in.
Yeah, and even Puka kind of moves in there from time to time, right? So like, yeah, they could really, you know, that it does set up as a really interesting game, and I'm glad Kev brought that up because, you know, that is a game that I feel like will go overlooked because of those pieces. But like, you know, we've seen it time and time again where it's like, okay, why did we not look at this game environment even though the guys were priced up? And this is a week where we could have some value that's shaping up. We'll talk about that at the skill position players or positions that these players are going to start opening up. But I think it's a really, really interesting setup. I'm with you, Kev, like on the Caleb Williams call. Like when you look at Will Levis and his stacking partners, you can just find, you know, if you just get an extra 1,000 somewhere, which can come from possibly even your defense, you can get to Caleb Williams stacks very easily as opposed to, you know, the Will Levis doubles with Westbrook Akine and Calvin Ridley, because, you know, you're only looking at DJ Moore priced at 6,100, Keenan Allen's priced at 5,600, which is ridiculous considering this guy, like they basically have called him the offensive coordinator. If you've been following anything that's going along here in Chicago, like the offensive coordinator is like, yeah, Keenan Allen's, he's the smartest player on our team. Like he's just out there calling plays. And I'm like, all right, that's good. So that's a fun one there. And then Roma Dunze, who's still heavily involved in is on the field a ton, just hasn't been getting the looks. He's 5K. And you know, like I think Calvin Ridley's in a great spot this week against Jacksonville, hashtag revenge narrative. And you know, Westbrook Akine, all he does is score touchdowns. So I get where people are coming from Will Levis stacks, because you want to be able to fit, you want to be able to fit in Saquon. You want to be able to fit in a high priced tight end. So you got to find value. And that's the one that people are going to go to. And that's the one that projection models honestly are going to be spitting out. But I like getting leverage on Caleb there. Even like Maddie's call of Sam Darnold, I think is interesting. I think there are other two interesting spots that I wanted to ask you guys about before, you know, we keep it moving, because it is kind of a gross quarterback slate. And I think there's going to be other areas that kind of dictate the slate. Ironically, we usually talk about the quarterback position in that regard, but we have a rematch of a matchup from 2 weeks ago with the Cardinals and the Seahawks. And we know that, you know, how much ownership was on that game the first time. Kev was on it first, saying that game could play under, it could be gross, divisional teams, yada yada, and lo and behold, we get a 6-16 matchup. Now, that was not for naught that, you know, these teams were able to move the ball. They just weren't able to do anything once they crossed, you know, the respective 50. But we could see that come to fruition this time around, where things are pushed. And Kyler like really is jumping off the page for me, where he's 6K this week. MHJ is 6K, like McBride's going to be popular, and nobody wants to touch this game. And it's just really surprising to me, because this was chalk not even 2 weeks ago. So that's an interesting setup. And then Tua against the Jets, I think, is another one that we have to talk about, because Tua's actually been on fire, you know, the past couple of weeks. It's been kind of crazy to see how this offense has shifted over time. It is a tough matchup, you know, when you're considering like the Jets defense and how they've been playing wide receivers. But it's Miami, and Miami, like, you know, they're still implied to score points. Like, we know what they can do, how explosive they are, and Devon Achane, like, he can, you know, even if it's a tough running matchup, they're going to use him as a pass catcher too. And Janu has been great too at the tight end position. So two is interesting to me. And then also wanted to hear what you guys think about, you know, Kyler and Geno 2.0. Maddie, what say you about those options?
Yeah, I just, those games just don't do anything for me. Like, to Kev's point, he's mentioned this every week, the Arizona defense has just been good. I refuse to stack that game, or to stack Arizona games, because Arizona can do weird stuff on offense. Like, it's been McBride getting all the yards, right? But he doesn't score. And then, you know, Marvin Harrison can have ceiling games, but for the most part has been pretty pedestrian from a fantasy point standpoint. You know, and Michael Wilson gets involved. And so like the Cardinals can just do weird stuff, but I get the rushing upside of Kyler. It's just, it's 6K. I don't know. That game's just weird. Like Seattle never plays, you know, shootouts except for when they play the Lions. You know, that's like the only team they've had a shootout against in the last 2 years. And then you've got the Cardinals defense playing well, and they're at home this week. So I kind of just like the running backs in that game, honestly. Like I like Connor and Charbonnet, and don't really like the quarterbacks. And then I can't play Tua. Like I know he had a ceiling game against Green Bay on Thanksgiving, but historically that hasn't been
with only 17 points scored.
Yeah, well. Right. You know, so like that he has zero rushing upside. He's got to throw for 350 and four for it to make, you know, a ton of sense. I'd prefer to just play the, like, if you like that game, my preference would be to just play the receivers or the running back, you know, Achane as a one-off. Because those guys, that, again, it's another offense that's so concentrated that the quarterback doesn't have to get there for the position players to get there. So, I'm surprised you, one game, you know, when we're talking about these other games, one game I'm surprised you guys didn't mention is Cleveland Pittsburgh.
Thank you. That's, so when he, as soon as he said the
rematch from 2 weeks ago,
I was like, that's why I was like, yeah,
I okay, thought he was going to say Cleveland Pittsburgh.
I was like, you can talk about it. And then you said those two. I was like, oh, all right.
Cause I mean, Jameis has looked good. I mean, the Broncos defense was the number one rated defense in pretty much every category.
Jameis. I mean, he's going to,
and he absolutely shredded them. Of course, he threw two pick sixes, you know, and threw two interceptions late in the game when it mattered. But that's been Jameis's MO, you know, his entire career is he will throw for 350 yards and four touchdowns, but he's also going to throw three interceptions, you know, trying to push the ball down the field. So, like, from a fantasy standpoint, though, like, I don't give a shit about interceptions. I give a shit about, you know, him pushing the ball down the field. And you know, I personally have thought, you know, over the last year, Judy's just been misused in Denver. Like if you watch some of his tape, he's wide open a ton and Russell Wilson just never got the ball to him. And, you know, there were some games where he had ceiling games. Right. And so, you know, it's kind of a, you know, humble brag, but I've got a lot of Jerry Jeudy in best ball, you know, like he's a guy that I was on preseason because I believed in, you know, a change of scenery or change of quarterback. You know, I know he's with Denver early, but you know, new quarterback coming in. And all that. So, like, I just think with Tillman out, it's another offense that's really consolidated. At Denver is probably the worst matchup you could have this season for any quarterback going to face a defense. And Jameis absolutely made them look like they had never played defense before. So I'm not saying he's going to do that to Pittsburgh, but it's such a consolidated offense. And, you know, they're cheap. Like Elijah Moore's 4,800. Jerry Jeudy's 5,700. Jameis is 5,400. Like we know where the ball's going and it's a really cheap offense. And we've seen the Steelers playing in a couple shootouts. So, with Russell Wilson under center. So I think that's the sneaky game of the week would be Cleveland Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I think it could be too. And then like on the flip side of that, like, with what Russell Wilson wants to do, it lines up as a great schematic matchup too, because the Browns are, they give up like I think it's the most yards per pass attempts in the league. Like they just get burned on these deep balls. I mean, we saw Marvin Mims, I mean, go out and have that long touchdown last week against them. It's what they've been like. They've been extremely boom or bust this year. Mm-hmm. And so obviously that sets up really nice for Russell Wilson, who does an excellent job at throwing the deep ball. It's probably the best thing he still does. And then, you know, with George Pickens, you know, like I think that could definitely get there as well. So that game does like profile, like, hey, that could be the game. Now it is a interdivision game. You know, we've seen this 2 weeks ago. Now I will say, you know, that we had the weather concern there, you know, the snow globe game, whatever. And these two offenses were still able to throw the ball pretty well against each other. I think it boils down to for Jameis, how much pressure are they able to get, on him, because his numbers when he's pressured are horrible. Like he's like 28th, 29th, 30th, whatever overall, like in pretty much every stat you look at in terms of pressure rate and like his completion percentages against pressure and everything else this year. So, like, that is a little bit concerning. And I think you guys are getting back, or the Steelers are getting back with Alex Highsmith or whatever it is this week.
Is he back this week?
Yeah, he actually has, like,
that's a big deal.
He actually has the highest pressure rate on the team, even higher than TJ Watt.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Denver was his number one in the league in sacks. So,
yeah. But the thing you just know about Jameis is he's got a sling. He does not matter. Like, he can throw two interceptions, whatever matters. He is going to continue to sling the rock. And if you look at just overall pass attempts, that's also something that you can look at with him. I mean, he has just been out there slinging it. I mean, outside of one game where he threw it, and that was against Pittsburgh. Other than that, it was 58, 46, 46, 41 in his games that he started.
Yeah, it does shape up interestingly because I think that when you're playing Pittsburgh, like the biggest thing is don't make mistakes, right? Like this team just capitalizes it and they could just try and keep the ball away from you to not be, not give you the ball back. And so I think they were very strategic about getting Chubb involved, Chubb and Ford both involved, early to be able to help move the ball along. It does kind of worry me just from a standpoint of it is in Pittsburgh. We might not have George Pickens for this game. I know he popped up on the report. That would definitely downgrade the Steelers offense for me. The pieces for the Browns have been, very concentrated without Tillman being there. So it is an interesting spot, but just one that I probably won't get to because of the nature of the setup from this matchup on paper. It's funny because we'll talk about it. I'm always loving to talk about the quarterbacks with you guys because I feel like the stacks kind of dictate the slate, but it's really like the running back position and the tight end position are what going to make or break this slate. I feel like, and these, these situations are just so, so similar, across the board at quarterback, which is like not making people feel that like that's why we're seeing Will Levis talk essentially is because people just aren't confident on where they want to go with game environment bets instead of
they know they're clicking Alvin Kamara and they got to figure it out after that. So
So let's talk about running back because that is the only way that I could build a Will Levis team that I like this week is just you have to play Saquon and Alvin Kamara on that team with Grendo. Like those are your three running backs and you take Will Levis and you play him with a single or double and you lock out like that. That would be the only justifiable way in my mind to get to a guy like Will Levis who really hasn't hit what you would want as a scorer on DK to feel really good in tournaments. I mean, even with Westbrook Akine going out there and scoring a touchdown every week and Calvin Ridley having good matchups, like it just hasn't come to fruition. And this is a guy who we've targeted defenses against all year. And now he wants to be the favorite. And the only way that I could build a team that I feel respectable about rolling out there is if I can jam in these two guys at the running back position and still get to Grendo. So you got Saquon Barkley, who's at 9K this week. We kind of talked about him at the top, but I mean, this is Carolina. Like he has the backfield all to himself. He's got he's got records to play for. Like you could talk yourself out of playing Saquon in large field. I get that in single entry. I don't know how you don't click on this guy just with the way the slate is shaping up. Like he's gone for 35 or 36 points like five times this year. What are we talking about? Like when dudes were doing that back in the day, like it was 10K. It was like 10-5 for McCaffrey. Like he got to 11 or 12 or something like that. I feel like when he was in the Carolina days, just raking. Saquon Barkley's role is just so solidified that it's just like you're taking $1,000 and you're playing Alvin Kamara, who's going on the road against the Giants. It's interesting that this will be a road matchup, not a home matchup, where I feel like he's been most popular. And yeah, like there's no Chris Olave that, we know Shaheed's been out and Taysom Hill is now on the injury report. So yeah, the workload should be there, but the workload has been there for the past couple of weeks. Even Taysom Hill's been banged up as well too for some time this year. And like we have two games of over 30 for Alvin Kamara. Like even this matchup, like the Saints are just not good, but people want to still go and play him because of volume-based play. And I get, but when your offense is bad, like it makes it tough to click on. And we do have some good other spots this week. Like I do like getting leverage on Kyren Williams against Buffalo at 7,300. When we talk about what his, we talked about that in the chat last week, Maddie, of like what his upside could be. And especially if we're seeing a game environment of 49.5 of what Vegas is projecting, like if we get those touchdowns there, we're going to be feeling good. You know, we know what Grindo shapes out at 5,400. Like he's going to be the highest owned player on the slate. I feel like maybe we just don't get a lead back in a role like that at that price. Kev mentioned Tony Pollard at 6,400, a guy who I wanted to play last week at 6,300 and a really good matchup. He gets another good matchup this week at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars that haven't been able to stop anybody. Like I'll let Kev wax poetic about his guy, Tyrone Tracy, who makes his way back on a main slate, like in that same game with Alvin Kamara, who's 5,800 and has a solid role there. Interesting setup with a new quarterback there and Drew Locke. Like, it's going to be interesting. Bucky Irving, I know you've talked about it, Maddie. He's been banged up. Like maybe he misses and we get Rashad White at 5,300. And then you brought up Charbonnet kind of indirectly, but like, yeah, Kenneth Walker's on the injury report and we could have Zach Charbonnet. Oh, Breece Hall's on the injury report. We could have Braylon Allen. Like it's just a crazy running back slate that like, I'm just finding $1,000 to get to Saquon. I want to play him and Alvin Kamara, and I want to be able to build teams like that because that's the way I want to carry them together. But I'm not going to say, oh, I'm going to play Alvin Kamara over Saquon this week just to save face and say that Jalen Hurts, you know, everybody's projecting that, okay, so what if Jalen Hurts gets the tush push, you know, touchdowns and takes it from Saquon? Well, like, that's been possible all year, and, like, Saquon's just scoring touchdowns from, you know, 40 yards out, 50 yards out. Like, he's just so explosive, it doesn't get to that point. Maddie, talk to us about running back and how are you attacking the slate?
Yeah, I totally agree with you on Saquon. I mean, Carolina has been so bad against the run, you know, all year. And Saquon, when he scores, like you said, Ryan, it's from 40, 50, 60 yards out. It's not from the 1 yard line. So, you know, that's where the ceiling games come from. And quite frankly, you know, he doesn't need 28 carries to crush Carolina. You know, he can do it in 18, you know, 18 for 180, you know, is in three touchdowns is totally in his realm of outcomes. So, you know, 9K is not too expensive for him at all. If you're playing a cheap quarterback, absolutely. You know, I'm on board with him. Kamara, I think Kamara is the easiest play of the week. I know that, you know, he hasn't really had a ceiling recently, but I mean, if you look at his game logs, you have to go back all the way to week 6 for the last time that he scored a touchdown, which feels really weird for Alvin Kamara, considering, you know, he's known to be an absolute touchdown machine. And even without touchdowns, he's still got games of 19, 16, 30, and 18 in there. If you know, throw in two touchdowns or so, you know, for a ceiling game, you know, that 19 game turns into 31, the 16 turns into 28, the 30 turns into 42. And the 18 turns into 30. So there still is a ceiling for Kamara there. His workload's been really safe. And it's the Giants, who we just saw Rico Dowdle shred on Thanksgiving. So, you know, and the Cowboys offense is just as bad as the Saints. So I really like Kamara. He's going to be probably – him and Charbonnet are probably going to be the two highest owned of the week. But I think they're the two best clicks of the week. Charbonnet in the two games that Kenneth Walker was out, he had 14 and 18 carries and 5 and 4 targets, and he scored 18 and 26 DK points. 4.8K, I am sign me up for that. So I am definitely on Charbonnet as well. And then the obvious one of the week as well, the other guy is Guarindo for San Fran, with no Jordan Mason and no CMC. Guarindo's shown he's got explosiveness. I mean, 10 carries for 99 yards, 14 carries for 85 yards. And a touchdown in a couple of weeks where he's seen extended run. And he just looks good, quite frankly. So 5-4 at home against Chicago. Pretty confident that he's going to score a touchdown. So I like him a lot. And then, yeah, the Braylon Allen call, I like him too, given that Breece Hall's out. I mean, Allen has been pretty good in a limited role all year. I guess I'm just not as high on Allen, given that we haven't really seen Breece Hall crushing. You know, yeah, week over week, even when Breece has been the lead guy there. So like, I'm not as, you know, head over heels in love with Braylon Allen as I am these other guys. Cause you know, Mason and CMC, you know, those guys crush when they're the starter, right? So like Guarendo's a different bucket for me than Allen this week. So those are the guys that I'm on. And you know, I know Kev will talk about Pollard probably. I think he's a good play as well. But he's definitely lower on my list behind the other guys.
Yeah, he's an interesting leverage play that Kev brought up, you know, and now, again, he'll talk about him for sure. But yeah, if Levis is going to be the highest owned quarterback on the slate, like, you know, where are the touchdowns going? Oh, wait, they go on the ground. It's interesting. Yeah, Maddie, with Braylon Allen too, and Kev, you might know more about this, but I believe Vera Tucker and Moses on the offensive line are banged up and possibly going to miss. So like, just, you know, I mean, the woes just keep coming for the Jets that, like, you know, the offensive line is not going to be healthy. It's interesting, a wide receiver though, and we'll talk about them, I guess, because like Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams, like, as much as they've been struggling, like, they have the market share that they are getting from Aaron Rodgers in games is just ridiculous, especially since Mike Williams has been out of the picture. Like, even with, you know, Malachi Corley getting involved in touchdowns and, you know, all these other like rookie and 2 year guys that Aaron Rodgers just wants to celebrate, who are just, you know, happy to be in his presence because they all think he's the GOAT and whatnot. It's just funny to see, but like, they're still running their offense through Adams and through Wilson. So Braylon Allen, like, I love the talent. Like, I know Kev Woods talked about his rookie profile as well as Nauseam on the TFA channel. But the matchup just kind of doesn't reach this level for me this weekend. Like you said, like Zach Charbonnet at 4,800, like right there, it's just an excellent pivot. But Kev, let's bring you in here and talk about running back. You know, I think one, you know, the situation that came on here when we were talking the Thanksgiving slate was a fun one with Debro with the Chicago Bears, you know, with that Roschon Johnson bet. I wonder how that went with him leaving for a concussion. But, he, you know, there's not going to be a Roschon this week. There's not going to be a DeAndre Swift potentially this week at 5,700, although people in Chicago made it sound like he's going to play and DJ Moore, who's banged up, is going to play. But, you know, if they were both out, that could open up even more value on a slate. And we know you love value, Kev. So where are you coming at this week? Are you spending up or paying down?
I mean, I think you have to like the top three guys with Barkley, Achan, and Kamara. I mean, the only thing that does worry, I mean, there is the scenario with Barkley that they don't get pushed at all and they just blow the doors off the Panthers and they don't really need to do a whole lot and he doesn't get there because of it. Like, we have seen games this year where, you know, even if he scores 20, it's probably not enough. Like, yeah, especially at 9K. Like, he has to absolutely smash, I think, at his cost to really sink you, in which he has certainly the upside to do so. I mean, he's done it a ton this year. But that's only, I guess, the argument it gets him. But it's a very small argument because, again, I think he is so 100% in play. It is the one of the nut matchups that you want for any running back. So, Alvin Kamara, I mean, what's made him so awesome, too, is he's seeing about 80% of the opportunities. And he is also seeing a 22% target share. That's absolutely ridiculous for any running back to be seeing. That's like a wide receiver two type numbers that they see. And so almost 7 targets per game for him. You just took out the probably the one guy that really kills them in terms of the touchdown department because that how much they utilize him once they get down inside the red zone of Taysom Hill. And so, like, I think there's lots of like here. And if, like you mentioned with the Giants, since week 9, they've allowed the 5th most rushing yards, the 4th most rushing touchdowns. They've also allowed a 9% explosive run rate, which is the highest rate in the league. So, like, I think there's lots of like here with Alvin Kamara. He can get there in so many different ways. Even if the game got a little wonky and the Giants, you know, built some sort of lead, he's still going to be involved as a pass catcher. So, like, it's pretty tough for him to fail, even at his cost, because I like that. But I also think that Devon Achane should not be slept on. Devon Achane is still possesses massive upside within this offense. And I know people are going to look at the Jets, say, oh, I don't want to play, you know, him against the Jets. But really, over the last 4 games, we've seen this defense kind of drop off a little bit. They've allowed 8 total rushing touchdowns this year. 6 of them have come in the last 4 weeks. They've also allowed top 12 in rushing yards allowed. So, I mean, Achane is another guy that continually has seen a ton of opportunity in terms of as a pass catcher as well. 17% target share for him. That's second only to Alvin Kamara. So I think Achane is certainly in play, and he is the guy of this group that nobody wants to play. He's less than 5% owned. in ownership right now, and I think that's a mistake because he is also somebody that could go out there and drop a 30 burger with ease. And so I like his leverage off these top guys getting to some Achan. In terms of the other running backs, I don't have any interest at all in James Conner. They have been really splitting up touches now with him. We're seeing some of Trey Benson mix in. We're seeing some Mari DeMercado. And since Ernest Jones was traded to the Seahawks for run defense has actually been pretty damn good recently. And so this isn't the same matchup if you look at it on the season for them. It's not the same matchup. They've actually been much better since that trade they made. And so I'm not that excited to play James Conner. I'm not excited to play Zach Charbonnet either because when I look at the Cardinals, I mean, we talk about it, but the Cardinals' run defense has been legitimately excellent over the last 6 weeks. I mean, they are one of the best run defenses in the league over that span. Their stuff rate is near the highest in the league. They've just done a.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Really good job. His defense has really turned things around, and I know I keep talking about it. So but I get his price. But I think it would be a different conversation if we didn't have any other value on the slate to where you can make a much easier case. But I don't think you have to play him because of everybody else that's out there. And Kenneth Walker does sound legitimately questionable. Mike McDonald's really said that he really doesn't know if he's going to play or not. So, but I just think with all this other value and I get it that he's going to be chalky. But there's a reason because this is the best role you could get for any running back for Isaac Garrido that he's walking into. I mean, we always want to play 49ers running backs because of the scheme, because we know that generally speaking, they don't really run committees. We saw the same thing with Jordan Mason, and Jordan Mason looked like ass, honestly, before Christian McCaffrey came back. And Isaac Garrido is just a physical freak. I mean, 6 foot, 220. Ran a 4.3 40 at the combine, 90th percentile burst score. We've seen him pop this year, and honestly, his numbers should look even better. But he went down. I don't know if you guys remember a couple of those games at the 1 yard line to seal the win, where he should have scored a couple more touchdowns. And the Bears' run defense has been absolutely dreadful since week 10. The Bears have allowed the 9th most rushing yards, the 11th highest explosive run rate allowed, the 7th highest yards before contact per attempt, and the 11th most DK points, the position, it's hard not to love Isaac Garrido. Probably going to play 70-80% of the snaps. So I get it. He's going to be chalky, but sometimes there's good chalk, and I feel like this is good chalk to get to because I think he has 20-plus point upside. You mentioned Braylon Allen. What worries me about him more so than anything else is Isaiah Davis coming in and taking pass-catching work away from him. And on a PPR site, I would much rather – I know he's only 5K, but I would probably rather have a guy that has a full workload ahead of him, and I don't know if Braylon Allen does. I think that he could end up being that first, second down banger where Isaiah Davis comes in and takes opportunity from him. So even though he's only 5K, I don't know if he's necessarily somebody you have to get to at his cost considering the other plays that are around him. I think that where it's where Zach Charbonnet becomes a little bit more interesting in that way because of he's probably going to be more involved in the passing game where Braylon Allen hasn't really shown that. And then lastly, you guys were talking about Tony Pollard. I absolutely love Tony Pollard. Last week, even when when Tajay Spears came back, he maintained his workhorse role. He's handling almost 75% of the snaps this year. He's seeing a 16% target share. Those are all excellent numbers. And then you have the Jags, who have allowed the third most rushing yards, the fourth lowest stuff rate, and the 11th highest yards before contact per attempt. So Tony Pollard is an excellent play. He's a workhorse. He's not as expensive as some of these other plays, and he's direct leverage off of Will Levis, who's going to be really chalky. So, like, Tony Pollard should be rostered much more than what he's probably going to end up being at $6,400 if people just go right past him. I have zero idea why Najee Harris is the third highest projected owned running back on the slate. That'll be something I never get excited about ever. I get he's coming off a week where he scored 25 against the Bengals.
No,
but I don't give a shit. I'm not playing chalky Najee Harris.
Mm-mm.
No,
chalk Will Levis, chalk Najee Harris. What could possibly go wrong?
That's the state of the slate that we're in, and also chalk against Cleveland. That Cleveland was an island game 2 weeks ago, and Najee was like the highest owned captain, I believe, on a slate like that, and disappointed there. With only 7.4, with the bad weather expected. So, we know what that shapes up as, but it's fine. Yeah, I mean, this would probably be the most condensed running back pool that I've had all year, where there's probably like six backs that I kind of rotate in and out. I do love getting to three of the running backs where I can, but it's
definitely a three running back week.
It's a phenomenal tight end week as well too. So I might have two tight end builds to Maddie's chagrin. But we'll talk about that when it comes to it. But yeah, the only other thing that I'll mention at the running back position, and I did tease this kind of before Kev came on, but if we somehow don't get DeAndre Swift, I believe that Chicago would make Travis Homer their lead back. Travis Homer is coming in at 4K this week. Spent some time in Seattle. For those of you guys who've been playing redraft for a couple years now, you might remember his days with Russell Wilson there in Seattle. And kind of his profile. Now the interesting thing about his profile is that he played for the now head coach of the Bears, Thomas Brown, at the University of Miami when he coordinated the offense. So I think that Thomas Brown would look to get him involved in some looks there. And there's not much depth at the running back position for the Bears as it currently stands, with Roshan being in concussion protocol. So that would be interesting there. You'd only really have Darrington Evans as the other back that he'd be competing with for touches. So that'd be an interesting spot there. It, like I said, it does sound like all things considered that DeAndre Swift will try and give it a go. And you can't play him with DeAndre Swift is in it, outside of large GPP builds and take a shot on that. But just wanted to call that out because I thought that was an interesting little nugget there. Let's talk about wide receiver, boys. And wide receiver this week, just because of the way that the slate has shaped up. All of your popular wide receivers, as it stands today on a Friday night, are between $4,600 and $6,000. Juwan Jennings is catching love. We understand why that is. Jerry Jeudy, you mentioned, Maddie, he's going to be catching love because there's no Tillman. Calvin Ridley's going to be catching love because Will Levis is popular. Darnell Mooney is catching love because he projects well every week in an offense that has to pass. He's 5,500. The Jacoby Myers is 5,600, has a Q tag, but we expect him to play. Like, we know what time it is. So all your receivers are kind of living in that spot. I expect Westbrook Akine to probably be the highest owned that he's been on the year thus far, because all he does is catch touchdowns, and now all of a sudden Will Levis is popular, so people will try and get to him. Got to get creative and got to go elsewhere. I do like Jacoby Myers. I mean, that the profile that him and Brock Bowers are seeing from Aiden O'Connell is absolutely incredible. Like, I feel like he's always in play. And we've seen this with Jacoby Myers back from Maddie's preseason DFS days when you were calling him out when he was with the New England Patriots. Like, all this dude did would rack up yards, and he just couldn't find the end zone. And now people have forgotten about that when Jacoby Myers was on that whatever long game streak where he couldn't find the end zone, but would still kind of be popular. And now he's, you know, the one of the most popular wide receivers. It's just funny how things work out like that. Darnell Mooney, I do have some interest in him, probably more so in the game stack of that environment of Atlanta in Minnesota, but you know, at 5,500, I think you could, you know, talk me into his profile really well. Let's talk about the high end receivers, and I'll toss it over to Maddie. AJ Brown, you know, coming off of that letdown spot without Devonta Smith, but it's AJ Brown. Like, I mean, if you wanted to talk about leverage off of Saquon or pivot, I guess, maybe not even leverage, but if you're saying that, okay, Saquon is going to fail, but like the Eagles are implied to score all these points, like they got to come from somewhere. It could possibly come from, you know, Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown. Justin Jefferson, I mean, I still think, I guess it's an argument could be made, but to me, he's the best wide receiver in the league. And, you know, he is not going to be treated as such. I mean, his ownership or his price is all the way down at 7,800, but, you know, has a great matchup here. Definitely like a potentially Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson stack this week. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua have gotten a huge share of the work from Matthew Stafford. They're 7K and 7,700 respectively. But if that game takes off, like, one of those guys has to be involved. Mike Evans, man, you kind of talked about that with Baker. And then Tyreek Hill's dealing with this wrist. Like, we haven't seen the explosive game yet, but it's Tyreek Hill. Oh, and newsflash, Sauce Gardner on the injury report. Like, he might be out. CJ Mosley might be out for the Jets. So, yeah, like, you know, in a matchup that nobody's expecting Tyreek Hill to go off, why would he not go off this week when Maddie doesn't want to play Tua at all? And they'll just explode in that game. George Pickens being on the injury report is interesting. I mentioned Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson. I mean, they're priced around each other. They keep dropping, but like, their share of the work from Aaron Rodgers is a Garrett Wilson game. It isn't coming. This guy's been so involved. He hasn't been able to get the touchdowns. He's 6,600. I could probably be talked into getting some exposure, you know, on those guys. I think that him and a Achane mini stack is kind of nice. I will have some Jaxon Smith-Njigba exposure because I'm playing Kyler. Love MHJ because I'm playing Kyler stacks as well. Maddie, we got an interesting slate here from a wide receiver standpoint because the builds are going to lead people to this particular, you know, 5K, 4K range of wide receivers. So, I mean, the 6K is pretty much dead. Like, I don't know how you get it. It gets to them outside of game stacks, and then it's going to be tough for people to pay up at wide receiver, jamming and running back. So what's shaping up to you, and what are you looking at to do with your builds when it comes to the wide receiver position?
Yeah, Jennings, who you mentioned, he's going to be really popular. And he's another guy that's been pretty volatile from a, you know, a fantasy scoring standpoint. I don't know what I'm going to do with him yet. I'm undecided because I mean, he's playing the Ayuk role, yeah. But I mean, we know Ayuk himself was volatile when he was healthy. But I mean, looking at Jennings game logs, I mean, 9-9, he had a 25, 16, 5, 2, 11, 5, 11. And then the 49 was in there. So it's like, you know, this guy that's historically scored 8 to 11 points on pretty much every week outside of like 2 weeks. And now he's the highest owned wide receiver on the slate just because he's $5,200 and people need value. Like, I don't know. I don't know that I can play that. I love the Justin Jefferson call. I think he's going to be totally overlooked this week because everybody wants to play Kamara and Barkley if they're paying up or one of the Rams guys. And like, I think Jefferson can absolutely nuke this slate against Atlanta. You know, he's got legit 200 yards and two touchdowns, three touchdowns in his realm, range of outcomes. So yeah. I like J-Jeff a ton. Up top, you know, I mentioned Kupp. I would probably prefer Kupp to Puka this week just because of the $700 savings. And we've seen Kupp have some ceiling games this year. He's got a 20, a 31, a 24, and a 35. So while Kupp's been more volatile than Puka, he's still showing that he's got that ceiling there, and he's 7K. So he's going to be under 10% owned, which I like that a lot. And Puka's going to be pretty popular at 18%. So I like Kupp up top as well as Justin Jefferson. And then for me, it's stacking guys with my QB. So Mike Evans, I'm playing him if I'm playing O'Connell or Baker as a Bucks piece. I like playing Mooney or London if I'm playing Jefferson. I think if you play Jefferson, you have to play one of those two guys from Atlanta.
Yeah.
In hopes that they push them on the other side. One, because you want them to push Minnesota, but two, Atlanta's so condensed that if they do push them, one of those two guys will end up being optimal if Jefferson's going nuclear. So I do like one of the Atlanta guys with Jefferson as a mini stack, even if you're not playing the QBs there. I also like we talked about Jameis briefly, but I like Judy and Elijah Moore regardless of playing Jameis or not. I mean, Judy's 5'7" and Moore is 4'8" on an offense that has really three guys to throw the ball to. It's those two and Njoku.
Right.
So, you know, those guys are way too cheap in a game they should be trailing, which could end up being a shootout with Pittsburgh. So I like those two guys a lot if you're looking to get mid-range. And then, you know, we talked about Vegas. Jacoby Myers is another one that stands out. I mean, guys seen 11, 15, and 11 targets over his last three of his last four games. And O'Connell has showed, to Kev's point, you know, O'Connell has showed that he can keep up with even, you know, some good defenses. And then, Ryan, as you were mentioning, you know, the Bears running back situation, does that just mean we're just going to get 50 pass attempts from Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, man. Like, it's just, you know, we don't know what the offense is going to look like with so much change. But I guess what I will say is that I expect them to be creative, you know, and right now they're kind of playing for this new coach, right? They're playing for him to, you know, have some good tape. I don't know that he'll be named, you know, he's the interim. I don't think he'll be named the future coach. I think they're going to want to bring in somebody new, but it's also like, you know, it's the Bears, who knows what the hell they're going to do. But yeah, I mean, I think they want to get Caleb going, get him going early. Like, this is a team that's really struggled in the first quarter of games, really struggled in the first half. And you're going up against the banged up team. Like, Nick Bosa might not play in this game. They got, you know, I think Lenore's coming back for the 49ers, which is interesting from the Keenan Allen matchup. But, like, they're banged up on offense, too. Like, Trent Williams might not be playing in this game. We know what the running back situation looks like. Like, this could just be a way to, like, pounce on a team that's really willing. I mean, the 49ers are 5-7. So, like, they're only a game better than the Bears on paper, which is kind of crazy when you break it down like that very cleanly. But yeah, I think Caleb, like, the best thing about Caleb, when we talked about this on the Thanksgiving slate and what's been coming to fruition, is, like, we know Garrido is going to be popular. And so, like, if Garrido is getting, like, 25-30 points against this team and, like, the Bears on the hold, like, then it's Caleb Wills up and we know where the ball is going. Like, it's so easy to target this offense. And you we haven't seen what it looks like when they play with the lead, because they haven't been good. But, like, you got to think, if they're playing from a lead, it's coming from the hands of Caleb and not from like DeAndre Swift or somebody.
Yeah. It's not going to be Travis Homer running the ball 25 times. Right. If the Bears are putting up points this week, it's going to be because they're throwing the ball. And you've got, you know, DJ Moore, who saw 16 targets last week. I know he's got a Q tag, but I'm expecting him to play. I mean, he's only 6,100.
It's a cheap stack.
Keenan Allen's 5'6" and Rome is 5K. I mean, Rome's the guy with the upside. Getting targeted down the field standpoint, and if there's, you know, 32 seconds left on the play clock or on the game clock and you need to run a play, you know, you might as well hike it and just, you know, chuck it deep to Rome instead of calling a timeout. But hey, you know, everybody's got their own approach to trying to win a football game. But I guess all that to say, you know, the Bears guys are very interesting whether you play Caleb or not, just because of how cheap they are and how consolidated that offense is. But to your point, Ryan, San Francisco's banged up on both sides of the ball. And you know, if San Francisco can't move the ball in offense as good as they typically do, they're not chewing clock, and it's just more possession for the Bears too.
Right.
You know, and those guys can all see 10 plus targets in the same game if, you know, Caleb's throwing the ball 45 times, which if they don't have Swift, I just don't see how he throws less than 40.
Yeah. And I mean, even if they do have Swift, like, we don't know what his, you know, his health status could be limited, and like, they don't have their goal line back. So I think that even helps Caleb in the red zone. And we know what happens, like, this guy's been getting pressured and he's taken off and running. Like, it's just helping his profile outlook that much more when he can pick up, you know, these extra, you know, whatever, 40, 50, 60 yards rushing in games that we've seen so far this year. So I think he profiles really well as a DFS option. I think that, you know, some projection systems as we get closer to Sunday, you know, when the inactives come out, we'll have him profiled that way. So interesting spot. Definitely glad you brought that up, Maddie. Kev, before we toss it to you, you know, Pickens being out, a guy who I played last week and who I continue to play, we've talked about him on Showdown Slates, Calvin Austin. Like, he was in he left the game last week with a concussion after scoring a big touchdown from Russ. He's only 3,300. Like, he just never gets priced up. I think he's an interesting play this week. Even if Pickens is out there, because of what his you know, his big play making ability and how Russ looks to him, you know, deep in this offense, he's definitely like the second, you know, preferred guy, and him and Russ have a rapport. So I think he becomes like the ultimate, like, you know, ultimate unlocking of your lineup piece, especially if Pickens comes out. I really want Pickens to play because I still have interest in Austin at 3,300. I think he makes for an interesting stack too if you are interested in paying up for defense this week for the Steelers, because he's out there in the return game. He can pay off dividends in that way as well too, and you get the double dip. But Kev, what's shaping up for you at wide receiver, and how are you looking to build out your lineups this week from this position?
I mean, the Justin Jefferson thing, I think, is legit. The only thing that worries you with him is just the targets. He hasn't seen double-digit targets since week 5. Which is kind of wild, all things considered.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting like 8 to 9 targets, but like, he's not being like absolutely peppered with targets. But I will say that Atlanta has been atrocious against outside wide receivers this year. They allow the second most points to outside wide receivers. Only Denver has allowed more. Now, some of that could be skewed for Denver because of
Judy,
the absolute thrashing they just took. But either way, it's just been a good matchup to target. So I mean, Jefferson, he's one of the rare wide receivers on the slate that could give you 30 plus point upside. But it's tough because, like, okay, he's $7,800. Like, how are you? Like, you want to pay up for running back? You want to get all these guys? Like, how are you getting him in there? So it is a little bit tougher, but still, I mean, he has that upside. I think AJ Brown does as well, but again, you're kind of worried about, like, do the Eagles have to really throw the ball at all? I mean, Dallas Goedert looks like he's going to be out, so that helps. Someone like Devonta Smith, who I think is interesting at $5,800, but Mike Evans is in a tremendous spot too, at $7,200. He's good to go. They took him off the injury report, so no designation for him because he didn't practice a couple days ago. But I think Mike Evans is certainly a way that we should be looking at there in that same game. George Pickens, I think, is interesting. These goddamn practice injuries that keep popping up all year is absolutely wild, because, I mean, he wasn't even on the injury report and then popped up with a hamstring. He still was got in a limited practice, so I don't know. I would bet he probably ends up playing. We already talked about that spot there for them and how Cleveland really struggles in those. And Greg Newsome, I believe, is also out in that game, so that should help. One of their corners is out. So if George Pickens is out there, I'm going to have interest. $6,800. Like, he could definitely go nuclear. I think in terms of some of the other – JSN is definitely a corner or a wide receiver that I want to play. I've talked about this before, but I'm going to talk about it again. Arizona is one of the worst defenses on to slot corners this year, allowing the 6th most PPR points to outside wide or to the slot, and they have been phenomenal against outside wide receivers. They have allowed the fewest PPR points per game to outside wide receivers, so that makes me like someone like DK Metcalf a lot less with JSN. We know that he plays a slot. It's like 80% of the time that, like, he leads all wide receivers and slot or snaps from the slot. So JSN is in play at 63, and he's been anyways, kind of getting there over DK Metcalf anyways. He has had more receiving yards than he has in both games that DK Metcalf has been back. So JSN at $6,300, I think that is still a palatable price you can get to him there for him. And then, you know, I think that if you don't want to play Justin Jefferson, I think Jordan Addison at least becomes interesting. He's significantly cheaper. He is still seeing a pretty decent target share in this offense. I mean, 8 targets, 9 targets, 6 targets the last 3 weeks. So, like, you could look there at $5,300 where people are going to want to play him because everybody wants to play Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is you know, looks like a top 2 or 3 owned wide receiver this week. So, you could look there. Elijah Moore, I think, is interesting too. But I will say this. He has typically been the slot wide receiver, but they've started to change things up where they're kind of moving these guys around a little bit more because Pittsburgh has been elite against slot wide receivers this year. I think they're only allowing like 7.5 PPR points per game, which I think is the lowest in the league. But I still think both of them are in play. Both those wide receivers are in play. If you're wanting a really cheap wide receiver, in that same game for Cleveland, we saw this last week, you know, against the Broncos. He didn't have necessarily a monster game, but he is super cheap. And that is their other wide receiver that they had. Why is his name slipping my mind? Jamari Thrash had saw some looks last week in that same game. And then as well as, why am I? I can't think of his name. Now I look like it's slipping my mind. Michael Woods. He's 3K. He saw 5 targets last week in that same game. I think you could look there as some like really another value play. I was struggling there, and you're on mute. But
I know I'm on mute and people can
not. I knew it was Michael, but I kept wanting to say Thomas. I'm like, I know his name's not Thomas.
So people can't get there because you were struggling too. That's, I mean, I love when Kev can wax poetic about these guys who are flying under the radar. Everybody wants to play Judy and Elijah Moore. No. We're going to talk about Thrash and
Michael. I mean, he was targeted 5 times last week. I mean, that's
for a
3K wide receiver. I mean, you know.
He was. I mean, if you're playing, yeah, interesting to get those guys in game stacks to kind of free up your lineup. And we know you're playing in those MME streets, Kev. So you gotta get the people to be different. I understand it, and I love it. There'll be some pivot options to be made here for sure, and definitely I think Thrash is questionable as well. So that could even, you know, free up another spot there for the Cleveland pass catchers. Anything else that you guys want to touch on wide receiver wise before we, I think the one thing, if you're interested in Josh Allen, like it doesn't become any clearer this week. Keon Coleman, I believe, is expected back. So it just makes it that much tougher to get to a stacking option for him. But, you know, I mean, Cooper could do it. Shakir could do it. Hell, Keon Coleman could be that guy to pop with him. It's just you might have to do a little bit more guessing this week than we even like to usually do with Josh Allen teams. So you guys got anything else for the wide receiver position before we move it to tight end?
Would you have any interest in Darius Slayton if Malik Nabers misses? Absolutely. We've seen him have ceiling games when he's been out. $4,300. I mean, there's nobody we're really worried about from the Saints secondary or anything like that. You know, anything you have to worry about there. Their defense doesn't really get pressure that much. Now, I will say on the flip side, they've been really bad. The Giants have been horrendous with allowing pressure this year. But, like, $4,300, like, we've seen ceiling games from him before where he is, you know, when he's the primary target. I don't know.
He was also best buddies with Daniel Jones. So, you know, it's no longer Daniel Jones.
If you don't Locke have likes neighbors, to sling it, though. They also lost Theo Johnson, so like he's on IR now. And so like, who the hell have they found? Because I mean, to be fair, I mean the say what
Tracy.
Sure, but like it's not like the Saints are an offense or a team that we should be like, oh my god, they're playing the Saints. Like this is a scary matchup for them. So
the Giants are going to go 3-and-out 18 times in this game, and Alvin Kamara is going to score 18 touchdowns.
Darius Slayton has a 29-point game this year, a 17-point game this year. I mean, I'm saying.
I'm not playing Darius Slayton on the slate.
Need to have.
I'd rather play Kevin Austin on the other side of that game.
Oh, that's tough sledding.
What about Parker Washington?
I might be slating over Austin.
And it's 12 targets.
But I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I mean, the ball's going to have to go somewhere. I feel like, man, I mean, that's where, you know, I would probably not play Slayton as a one-off, but I would be interested in having some exposure to him on my Alvin Kamara builds. Because if Alvin Kamara is going out there and nuking, like Locke is for sure slinging the ball. Like,
I'd play Sterling Shepard over Darius Slayton.
Hey,
you know what that Shepard means. You know what that Baker means, Mayfield. Ryan. You know what that means. He's now going to have 8 for 100 and a score.
I mean, Shepard's got 14 targets in the last two games.
Not even 8 for 100. Slayton will just go out there and 3 for 172, 2 touchdowns.
I think Rivers plays.
Okay, but what about what about Parker Washington, who had 12 targets last week?
I'm good on that. I'm not playing that game. The game gross. Outside of a defense. That gross game is game. Awful. The game is disgusting. It's two of the worst offenses in the NFL.
All right. Well,
it looks like a defensive game.
I try to throw a little value, you know.
Give me Jalen Naylor if you're looking for an off the wall call. 3,300 against Atlanta.
I think Michael Woods is the off the wall call for sure. And the Calvin Austin. Yeah. I love that.
Maddie let you slide with Thrash and Woods too. And yeah, and then you started.
I draw the line at Slayton.
You started going in the bag. And
I do like the Calvin Austin awesome call a lot. If Pickens plays, just because I like the Steelers offense more if Pickens is in. I think without Pickens, that team probably struggles to move the ball.
You're not going to play MVS, who's just continually scores touchdown?
Absolutely not, because Alvin Kamara scoring all the touchdowns.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think I've done enough rambling about bad wide receivers.
Yeah, don't play any of those guys. That's the real solution.
Well, you have another position to talk about it.
This position's easy.
Cheap tight end.
Now this position is actually good. Like, there's actually a lot of plays.
Yeah. Well, there is some plays that shape out. And shout out to Mr. Ray 956, who comes into the chat and asks if it's a two tight end week. It's never a two tight end week for Maddie.
That's not true.
It's rarely a two tight end week for Maddie. But yeah, I mean, the tight ends are absolutely phenomenal this week. I mean, let's start off at the top. We got Brock Bowers. I mean, he just absolutely bloused the Kansas City Chiefs. It didn't amount to a win, but you know, he love what his target profile is from AOC, and even when it was Gardner Minshew. I mean, this guy just looks like, you know, this is who everybody wanted Kyle Pitts to be, and it was like, just wait a couple of years on Brock Bowers, who everybody was talking up in college that he would, you know, he's leaps and bounds better than everybody else, and now he's in the NFL and people want to act surprised that he's doing what he's doing. But yeah, he's absolutely incredible. Hard to not want to click on him. I mean, Trey McBride in this matchup, the last time he goes out and puts up, you know, over 28 DK points without scoring a touchdown, so he just is gonna have an incredible, you know, outlook on this slate. George Kittle is 5,800, but again, there's not Trent Williams not being out there in this matchup. He might be asked to do a little bit more in line blocking on the offensive line, maybe. But, you know, 5,800 for George Kittle, like without Christian McCaffrey out there, we know what his upside is, and it's against this Chicago defense that has been reeling over the past couple of weeks. And then Jonnu Smith, 5,300. We know what he's been doing with Tua in this offense. It's been absolutely incredible to see him kind of step up and step into the mix with Tyreek Hill being banged up, going against this Jets team who might not look like a good matchup on paper, but especially with Sauce being out, I think they'll, and CJ Mosley, like, they'll definitely find ways to get Jonnu Smith in space, and he just has been awesome. And then right below him is David Njoku, who has, what is it? Is it, 22 targets in the past two games, and then before that, like 977. I mean, when you look at the target profiles with Jameis Winston, it's been absolutely incredible. And without Tillman, it just kind of, you know, frees up some stuff with him. Outside of that, I mean, you know, I just want to find salary to be able to get to a guy that's 5K and above. I do think, like, Cole Kmet's interesting on Caleb Williams stacks. I do think that TJ Hockenson could possibly make some sense, even with Oliver being back. I think that at 4,300, you could talk me into him on some Sam Darnold lineups. And then Cade Otton, I think, is really going to be, you know, popping this week against LV, who's been letting up points in bunches to the tight end position. he's probably the one guy that I would look to play outside of, like, without having Baker. I'd be fine if I got to Cade Otton, but I really want to get up to one of these guys who's in Joku or above this week, because the way that these guys profile matchups, I mean, they could just really separate themselves from the slate. Maddie, what are you looking at when it comes to the tight end position for you?
Yeah, I love the quarterbacks in Vegas Tampa Bay game, and you know my rule is try to stack the quarterback with tight end as much as I can. So because the touchdowns, you know, tight ends are usually very touchdown dependent. So both Cade Otton and Brock Bowers, I've got those guys as my one of my two overall tight ends, with Bowers being one, Otton being two. And then outside of that, it's all the guys you mentioned. I mean, John, who's up there, you know, his volume has been absolutely insane. You know, like you said, 22 targets in the last two games is crazy. And then you got Hockenson. I like him against Atlanta. I just like Minnesota against Atlanta this week. And then Njoku, you know, we talked about Elijah Moore and Jerry Jeudy, but Njoku with Jameis has been great this year. But for me, you know, especially if you're game stacking Vegas and Tampa, you can play both those guys together, because those guys are very, you know, they drive a lot of the touchdowns that their team scores. So if that game shoots out, I would expect both Bowers and Otton to be heavily involved in the scoring. So I do like Bowers, Otton, minis this week.
Yeah. Bowers just, I mean, he looks.
And what's interesting too, when I was playing around with some builds, is Baker plus Otton is like $100 less than O'Connell plus Bowers. So you can get pretty much get a very similar build between the two if you go one way or the other, but you can also play Bowers and Otton together.
Yeah, no, two tight end week is definitely on the table this week for your boy. Kev, what say you at the tight end position, and who are you going to be trying to get into your lineups?
How about Grant Catano?
Oh God!
I was waiting for
you. Couldn't even make it through the name. There is a tight end that you guys didn't mention that we should, and that's Juwan Johnson. I mean, he's $3,400. He is projected as the fifth best value on the slate. So he saw he was targeted seven times last week. So I guess I'm just trying to – maybe I just need to play a Derek Carr stack at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
A Giants and Saints stack here is incoming. So
please send me head-to-heads.
But, I mean, Juwan Johnson, $3,400 is definitely in play. Seven targets last week, especially with Taysom out. I think it really kind of opens things up for him. So I don't mind getting there. If you're wanting to, obviously, the there's nothing else for me to say when it comes to Brock Bowers and McBride, Kittle, Jonnu, Njoku. Like, yeah. I think those five guys are one of those five guys are going to be in every lineup that I make.
Yeah, it's really straightforward this week at the tight end position, and yeah, I mean, those two guys at the top are just, you know, by far leaps and bounds the best of the position. Let's talk about defense so we can build a lineup and close it out for the people. Thanks for everybody rocking along. It's the DGEN Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. We're breaking down the Week 14 main slate here on DraftKings for you guys. As we talk about defense, I think that, you know, there's a couple of defenses who are in play. I think the Saints will come in. It's very popular against the Giants there at 2,900. People want to get to them. I expect the Titans and the Jags defenses, both of those offenses going against each other, to be very popular at only 28 and 2,600. You know, Steelers at 3,500. I mean, they're at home against this Cleveland team, and, you know, I think they'll try and probably garner some popularity even at that price because of what Jameis offers on the other side, which is he's, you know, the gift that keeps on giving. You know, he gives the goodness on the offense, and he gives the taketh away of the interceptions with his aggressive play style. So we could see them in obviously, you know, with the front seven there, getting Highsmith back, as Kev mentioned, you know, they could really wreak havoc. The Minnesota Vikings have been going to a lot this year, I feel like, and, like, you know, Cousins, welcome back to Minnesota. Like, here we go. We're just going to, you know, send Brian Flores blitzes at you all the time and have fun dealing with that on your bum Achilles. They're 3,400. I like getting to them as a pivot. Cardinals have been good as well, too. As you guys have both mentioned, they're 3K. So a lot of places to go. I think it, for me, it's just going to end up how my teams are building and just keeping the defenses that I like in mind and just seeing what fits. But probably will not go a defense under the Jaguars as it stands right now, I don't think. Maddie, what say you at defense? Where are you going?
Vikings up top, Jags down low.
Love it. Kev?
Saints, Jags, Titans, and Cardinals. Cardinals right now are only showing 3% ownership. Don't get it. I'm going to keep going back to them. They continue to put up points, and they're only 3K. So,
I love that. The especially with Walker banged up. You know, if Geno throws the ball more, there's more opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Fun. Pretty straightforward there, boys. Interesting slate as we talk about, you know, all the pending injuries and things that we're kind of waiting to fully shape out where the direction of the slate is going. So definitely make sure you guys are monitoring the injury reports into Saturday, and then definitely when the inactives come out before lock on Sunday, 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern time. It's going to be vital to knowing how the slate is officially locked in and where, you know, all the spots are coming in at, both on the offense and defensive side of the ball, because I think there are some defensive injury spots that could help shape the slate as well too. All right, fellas, what do you say we build a team for the people for this week 14 build? And Maddie, I think it's been a while since you've started off the build, so let us know where we're going.
J. Jeff.
Kev?
I had a whole... thought we were going to... I was going to say Aiden O'Connell, but then at the same time... probably go to Sam Darnold.
Yeah, let's go.
I feel like if Jefferson gets there, I don't see how Sam Darnold isn't the one, you know, coming along for the ride.
I like it.
So we're playing Darnold?
I guess.
All right, let's go Mooney.
Let's go Hawk.
All right, and we're not going to play this game, so let's just put Isaac Garrido in right now. 54. So I believe we have 4,300 left for wide receiver flex and defense.
Let's get a little interesting. Let's go Rome. Minion with Isaac.
Oh, damn it. I want to play Kennel as like a little mini stack, but with Rendo too, but can't do that. Not enough. I know what I can do. There's another mini stack here that I can go with.
Let's go.
Darius Slayton.
I love it. All right. Then, I mean, we're playing Steelers or Bucks D, I think. I'm putting Steelers.
Steelers.
All right. So Sam Darnold, Alvin Kamara, Isaac Garrido, Justin Jefferson, Roma Dunze, Darnell Mooney, TJ Hockenson, Darius Slayton, and then Steelers D for the lineup. $100 left over. Putting this team in, actually switching it so that Rome in the later game is in the flex over Slayton, so that we leave ourselves rooms for pivots if need be. And that's going to do it for the Week 14 build. That's going to do it for the Week 14 main slate podcast here from the DGen Nation fam. Anything for final words for the people, boys, before we sign out?
No, just remember where you were when Alvin Kamara scores 5 touchdowns on Week 14.
And just remember where you were whenever Malik Nabers gets ruled out, and then all of a sudden,
and Darius Slayton on the other side of that game also scores 5 touchdowns.
That the Sims are really, really loving Darius.
Shootout of the week: Saints 42, Giants 39.
Wouldn't it make sense though? We've seen we've seen stuff like this before, where it's like these really gross games out of nowhere just completely shoot out because of really bad teams on both sides. So we'd love to see it. Drew Lock just coming out there, you know, and just have a monster game to over 300 yards, you know.
Hey, MIZ baby, MIZ, go out and do your thing, Drew. You know, they released Danny Dimes. They tried to start Tommy DeVito over you, even though they brought you in for that money. Nah, go out there and prove yourself, young buck. Go out there and prove yourself. I love to see it. And, you know, remember where you were when the DGEN Nation pod faded Saquon Barkley on his historic run. So he'll go out there and put up 45 points and put the team dead in the water to start in the early slate. So all fun stuff, guys. But it's always fun rocking along with you guys. Appreciate those of you who are watching live on this Friday night. Come rocking with us with maybe a couple of beverages or before you go off for the night and just thinking, how can I build my teams for the day? You can do that here with the DGEN Nation pod, and we appreciate having you guys. It's DGEN Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. Make sure you guys are hitting that link in the description on the YouTube channel. Subscribe while you're on the page as well too. Give us a like, we appreciate that. But that link to Discord is going to be right there, and we want you guys in on the chatter. Signing off for Maddie D, Maddie DFS, Maddie Gets Buckets, Maddie 2v2. You already know what time it is. You can find him at Maddie DFS on Twitter and X. Signing off for the Godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Rat 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. I'm your boy, Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W. We'll catch you guys next week for the Week 15 Main Slate Breakdown. Don't worry, we're still going to finish out this quarter strong for you guys. Got a lot of football left. We can't wait to get after it. But get that money for Week 14, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces. You're a big man. I treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a brace, boy. Yeah. That's a brace, little man. Break it down.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.